if I were to go in any international market, the first channel I use for more sort of the brand awareness, because you never really go into a market and say, I want to take over the world. You need to build up a bit of brand awareness before you start going after the sort of the conversion focused channels, would be Facebook ads.
Hey there, I'm Cynthia Dearen, and welcome to Business Beyond Borders, where I unlock the secrets of international business success. Digital marketing has had a profound impact on how companies promote themselves and sell to their clients, not just at home, but also in global markets. And so today, I'm talking to the owner of one of Australia's fastest growing digital agencies. My guest for this show is Andrew Rasso, who's the founder of Online Marketing Gurus. Andrew and his mate, Mehdad, set up the company in 2012, not long after they'd graduated from university. And to be honest, things started off pretty slowly, but they grew quickly. Andrew and his co-founder went from just a handful of clients in 2013 to 500 clients and almost $20 million in revenue by 2019. And as the company grew, Andrew started to look for opportunities to grow globally. That's why today OMG is expanding into Singapore and also into the United States. Today, we're going to be chatting about Andrew's experiences in the international space and some of the lessons he's learned. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you along. Today, we're going to be talking about OMG and all things international. But before we get there, can you tell me the OMG story and how you actually got started?
Sure. Well, I studied commerce marketing at Macquarie University in Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. And I guess I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always knew I wanted to start my business. I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. So after I finished my university degree, there was a careers fair that I sort of got forced to go into at the university. I walked past the stand, and the stand had like, a sort of a squeaky duck, and it looked like a cool, funky marketing stand that I walked over to. Eventually, that was the company that I got my first job on. I kept bugging them till they gave me a job. I ended up working for free for a whole bunch of time. I sort of gypped them into doing an account management role. And I guess a few months into that, I realized I could do it myself. So a few months into working for the first company, I basically found my business partner who I went to university with. We were just working across the world from each other, and Online Marketing Gurus was born.
Wow. And how long ago was that?
So that was back in 2012. I think 2012, we first registered the company in August 2012. And then 2013, we decided to go full time. So I think we had a bunch of clients, I think four or five clients that sort of gave us enough revenue to go out on it full time.
Wow. And things accelerated pretty quickly for you then, haven't they? Because today you turn over something like about $8 million a year and you've got offices in a bunch of places.
Yeah, a little bit more. I think we're just shy of about $20 million in revenue now.
Is that right?
Yeah, which has been cool. So just over 500 clients, just under $20 million of revenue. We're lucky enough to work with some of the biggest brands in the world, which you can all have a look at all them on our website. Over the last 12 months, we've probably gained a lot of those bigger brands just from how we branded ourselves and how we market ourselves, which I'm happy to talk about as well. So yeah, the business has grown quite substantially in that time, especially over the past sort of 18 to 24 months.
All right, so let's talk a bit about what Online Marketing Gurus does. You provide a suite of digital services, which includes stuff like SEO, Google ads, social media advertising, and different content marketing services. Yep. If you had to explain the difference that you create for clients or the transformation that you create for them, what would you say?
Look, the whole reason why I started Online Marketing Gurus was to be different than my competitors. First and foremost, we focus on results. What I mean by that is we actually focus on the results a client is looking to achieve. So whether they want rankings or revenue or inquiries, we make sure we really flesh that out in the beginning stages of speaking to a client in pre-sales. A lot of companies will just say, no, you want rankings and you want rankings and you want rankings, or you want this. It's like, no, listen to the customer and exactly what they want and make sure you're driving revenue for them. We're not snake oil salesmen. So unfortunately, our industry has a little bit of a bad rap for a lot of companies trying to sell snake oil, in terms of like they will sell you absolutely anything to get you on board. They'll offer you a whole bunch of guarantees that don't make sense. to your business at all, but they just want to sign you on for, you know, a 24, 36 month contract and throw a whole bunch of guarantees that don't make any sense. We focus on data and we make sure we're very transparent in the results that we achieve. So when a client looks at our reporting, it's very transparent about the work that we do, because a lot of people look at our industry sort of like smoke and mirrors, where we actually show all the work we're trying to do and explain that in a very simple format, as well as having one of the only Australian agencies that have an R&D facility. So we actually have a dedicated team to research and development, because our industry changes drastically pretty much all the time. It used to be only a few changes a day that Google makes. Now it's like 5 or 10. So they're making more changes to try and have a better outcome for the customer. And lastly, we actually turn away a lot of business. So if a client comes to us and like, we want immediate results and the expectations are terrible, I've seen a lot of our pre-sales team actually turn away business. As well as what that sales team does is they actually consult with our consulting team when they put together a strategy, rather than just having a whole bunch of random salespeople and then just putting together a strategy and what they think they works best. They actually sit down with a consulting team and build out a strategy first and foremost before they actually take on any business. So we make sure we're charging the right amount and we're going to hit those goals within those timeframes, rather than just selling them something that we're not.
So Andrew, Business Beyond Borders is all about international business. And there are a couple of things that I really wanted to ask you about in that international space. Let's talk about the digital marketing piece and in particular SEO. Just looking at that digital marketing space, how much of an impact do you think digital marketing can create for a company, a business that's looking for growth in international markets?
Well, I guess, you know, when we're looking at, you know, marketing in general from a few years ago, it was all about, you know, billboards and TV and radio, and it was a very expensive process. The beautiful thing about digital marketing and especially going international is that you can reach 1,000, 10,000, 1 million people with digital marketing if you really want to. And that's very, very, very hard to do with any other sort of medium, as well as making that very targeted. So, you know, whenever we're trying to go to the national market, after we've of course done our research, we go after, you know, a whole plethora of different people where we don't actually need people in that region. We can do it anywhere. So, you know, international expansion now through digital marketing is a whole lot easier than it was, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago using generic marketing channels.
Oh, I totally agree. And I'd be really interested to get your thoughts on how you need to customize your digital marketing for particular markets. Yeah. Because, you know, what people expect market to market, even when countries are quite close together, can be starkly different.
Absolutely. And that's something that I've learned as a business probably in the past 12 months. Initially, I thought I was a superstar. I was like, you know, I've done it in Australia. I'm going to go international and it's going to be straightforward and I can use the same marketing material and I can use the same marketing team and it's all going to work out well. That was the complete opposite of what I thought. The company, the sort of countries like Singapore, completely different sort of understanding of what digital marketing is about. Mm-hmm. Although it is similar in the same sense of what you actually do, the understanding of what they're actually looking for is very different, i.e. they're much more face-to-face. They want to meet, you know, they have a much more demand for meeting people face-to-face because there is little trust in that region. They're a little bit backwards in terms of where digital marketing is now in terms of where it is in Australia compared to Singapore. Like, for example, the gimmicks of guarantees and sort of companies manipulate them into guarantees, they still like, which, you know, eventually is they're going to move away from, but it's just very different, you know, in terms of sort of pricing structure. It is a little bit cheaper than it is Australia. So we have found we've been most successful that where we've had people on the ground from a sales, marketing and account management point of view, they're not necessarily worried about where it actually gets delivered, but they want to see face-to-face and they want to trust who they're working with because they've been burnt a lot in the past. Yeah, there's not a huge amount of companies that it's sort of big based out of Singapore, example. Mm. But as long as they meet you face-to-face, they trust you a lot more.
So let's talk about Singaporean clients, for example, just for a moment. What have you seen with your clients in Singapore that is different to what clients in Australia might expect, for example? So are there different preferences about how things look and feel and about how digital marketing itself works?
Because they have a lot less trust in digital marketing, they're still very mainstream on generic marketing. It requires a lot more handholding, not only from a pre-sales perspective, but from an ongoing perspective. So when you're in terms of pre-sales, they're expecting a lot more in terms of, you know, they want guarantees. They want to make sure they're making the right decision. They want to make sure they meet face to face before they make that decision. And even once you actually get past that barrier and you start managing the client on an ongoing relationship, they require a lot more touch points. So we've got an account manager in Singapore that manages all our Singaporean clients. And the feedback we get is there is a lot more handholding there than there is in Australia and other countries that we're pursuing. Now, not to say that's a bad thing. Usually they come around after they have a lot more trust in you, but it's just on the initial stages, there's a lot more handholding. There's a lot more, this is exactly what we've done and this is how we're trying to get an outcome and these are the results we've achieved rather than other countries.
If you're enjoying the Business Beyond Borders podcast and you're thinking about expanding your company internationally, check out the Dearen & Associates website. DearenAssociates.com.
Yeah, and that really that reflects my experience of working in Asian markets, because those are countries that are all about relationships and businesses done on the basis of actually getting to know and like people and trust people before you start working together, which is a little bit different to the way that we do it in the West.
Yeah. Absolutely. Nailed that. I mean, even down to the point of handing over a business card and receiving a business card using two hands. These are small things you pick up as a respect in that culture to make sure you're nailing, rather than just, you know, doing all the marketing or all the sales out of a different country and expecting to be successful in that region. That's never going to happen.
Absolutely. So, I mean, looking at clients who you have worked with, maybe out of Australia going into a different market or out of Singapore and going into other Asian markets, what kind of results have you seen where you've worked with clients to get international traction?
Look, the results are always pretty similar. I mean, it depends on how big that market is. For example, the US is huge. So for example, we work with a client called 100% Pure, which is a cosmetic brand. We worked in Australia, the UK, the US, Singapore. And, it was a similar process. It was just a lot more competitive. So they scaled to $40 million in revenue plus quite substantially. And that was all through SEO and digital, with basically no visibility when we started. So that was super successful. Another brand new client we worked with that expanded to 30 plus countries was a company called Crimson Education. We worked in Australia, New Zealand, the US, Canada, UK, Singapore, and they went from $10 million to $30 million revenue in under 2 years just from SEO and Google AdWords. I think from memory, they went from about 200 leads per month to 2,100 leads per month. Some countries were more successful than others, purely based on the demand for that product in the market. But in saying that, if there is the beautiful thing about digital is you can research the demand into that market before actually executing there. So the process is all pretty similar. The execution is also pretty similar. It just depends on how successful that region is going to be once the leads and sort of the business comes through.
And so when you're looking at that international space with clients, how do you advise them? Is there one channel that you think is a standout when it comes to international traction? You mentioned SEO and you mentioned Google AdWords. Is there one of those that you think is better for companies than the other, or do they need them both?
Look, in total fairness, no. Each client can be very dependent on a single marketing channel or all marketing channels. There's nothing that really stands out. However, if I were to go in any international market, the first channel I use for more sort of the brand awareness, because you never really go into a market and say, I want to take over the world. You need to build up a bit of brand awareness before you start going after the sort of conversion focused channels, would be Facebook ads. However, that can be a little bit expensive because you're doing a lot more brand awareness. You're looking for more of an impression share and more of an targeting a much larger impression share in that country. You go down the Facebook route. And then once you've got that impression, sort of targeting that impression share, people will slowly hear from you and you've released, you know, lots of quality content like blogs and white papers and eBooks. Then you start targeting the more, the SEO and the Google AdWords, because they're, you know, the targeted channels where people convert from, and then get you a much better return on investment.
Let's talk now a little bit about OMG and what you guys are doing in the international space. You've started to take the company international, even though you're still a young company. And earlier this year, you announced opening offices in the US and also in Singapore. What made you choose those countries as the first places that you'd expand to?
So I'll talk about the USA first and foremost. About 3 years ago, we had a lot of our business coming from the US. Slowly moved more to Australia because, you know, that's our sort of a homebred country. But that was pretty straightforward because it was in a very English-speaking country. As a digital company from Australia, we're sort of very well ahead of the curve in terms of our competitors. So going there was pretty straightforward. The only thing that sort of killed us a little bit was the time difference. And I had to spend a lot of time in the US doing a lot of hiring, which sort of burnt me out a little bit, especially sort of how young our company was. Now moving back into the market is going to be a lot easier. I have a lot, you know, stronger business and processes and systems and stuff like that. So that was a no-brainer. As for Singapore, it's once again another English-speaking country where people are well aware of what digital is and it is continuing to grow. However, with Singapore, we initially spent a lot of money on branding, a lot of events, a lot of Facebook ads, and then slowly moved over to SEO and PPC. And then that was really successful for us. So we try and focus on countries that don't have a huge amount of time difference. So it's easy to expand it slowly from Australia to that country and then slowly move it over, as well as a market that's already pretty mature. We don't really want to go to a market, you know, in Europe that is completely different to what Australia is currently.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Tell me, what's the international journey been like for you so far? What's worked well and what things have you found challenging?
Look, so many learnings. Initially, as I said to you before, I thought I was just some sort of magician where I would just be like, oh, yeah, I made it in Australia and Australia was difficult. Let's just go everywhere else. But it doesn't really work that way. There's lots of good learnings and there's, of course, bad learnings as well. Some things I can mention is always test your markets before you go all in. There's a competitor of mine that I know that basically went and dumped a whole bunch of money into Singapore and they lost a whole bunch of money into Singapore because they didn't test the market. And it's, once again, it's very different to Australia. It's not completely different, but it's still very different. So always set yourself a goal. Okay, I need to bring in, you know, $100,000 in revenue before I actually start employing over there. And I do that from Australia first. So I'm going to invest 20 grand. I'm going to get 100 grand of revenue and then I'll slowly start to invest more rather than just dump the whole thing in. The second thing would be to flood the market with quality content. So once again, you want to earn trust into that market. Now, a lot of people from Singapore know us, which is as a global agency, which is really exciting. So a lot of eBooks, a lot of blogs, a lot of conferences, a lot of, you know, pushing on paid channels such as Facebook and LinkedIn. So just a lot of content initially in the early stages. So people started knowing our brand before we start, you know, going out and trying to sell people things. So that was really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, you don't necessarily need local content, just content that's globally relevant. So that's why it's easier to go after English-speaking countries. Of course, there's minor factors with everything when you're trying to target a sort of, a different country. But if it's not too different, then it's not that hard, so to say. Obviously, it's different, but it's not going to be exactly hard. You don't need to, you know, build a whole new marketing team. You don't need to build a whole new sales team. You can still get away with doing a lot from your original country before you start going crazy, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And so it sounds like for some of those things were easier than you thought they might be. Were there any that were harder? Was there anything, you know, that's come up that you can talk about where you're just like, oh no, you know, yes. That's way harder than we thought. Oh, wow. We wish we hadn't done it like that. You know, what can you share with us that other people might be able to learn from?
Probably the hardest thing is finding local people because you don't know that market. Finding local people to help you, it's like building a business from scratch. So you're sort of juggling running an Australian company or running wherever you are internationally, you're running a different country and you're trying to find local people that you trust to help build that out, which you can't necessarily be. I mean, everyone starts a business from, you know, your home country to begin with because you have contacts, you have relationships. It's a lot easier. You know the tax laws, you know the legal requirements. When you're trying to learn a different region, it is so different and you need local people that you can trust to help you build that out, which is why it takes so long. So finding local people is extremely hard. And the only way you're really going to do that is if you're there. So every time I've really tried to do it from Australia, it's just burnt out. But as soon as I've gone into that country and I've gone, okay, I want a fantastic salesperson. Sure, let's go hard and we'll find a fantastic salesperson and they can meet me face to face. Or I want a general manager. Or I want an operations officer. Well, whatever it is you're looking for, you need to spend some time there and really go hard.
Yep, I agree with that.
That's probably the biggest issue that any business is going to have when they're trying to expand into a region.
And so where do you see OMG in the international space 5 years from now?
So I'd love to have different little clones of OMG Australia in a lot of different regions, like Hong Kong, Dubai, Singapore, Canada, the US. A lot of those English-speaking countries I'm going to go, you know, going to go ham at, really. And if we've done really well, we'll even look at non-English speaking regions. I mean, digital is something that exists in almost every country in the world. So the market exists, which is exactly what we want. We're not an Uber where, you know, you go to Thailand or you go to Bali or you go to China and it's very difficult for you to be Uber. And, you know, a competitor will take you over and you don't know if the market actually exists and people want that. In digital exists in almost every country. So that works out, you know, really well. So I'm going to really push those English speaking countries and create duplicates of that with their own little CEOs and general managers and marketing and sales teams, and then see if I can go after non-English speaking countries.
All right. Andrew, it's been super to have you on the show today. I've got one last question for you before I let you go. Based on what you've learned so far, what would you say to other founders who are looking at going global and wondering whether it's for them?
Take it slow, spend a little, make money first before you go into that country, and remember to keep investing. Don't just keep trying to pull money out of that country. Continue to reinvest, close more business and continue to hire people. Once you build up a sustainable business in that country, then move on to the next. Don't try and do a whole lot at once. Take it slow. Try and obviously do as much as possible remotely and fly in as needed. Just talk to as many people in that country as possible, build a lot of relationships and continue to sort of duplicate what you've learned in each country and continue to grow.
I love it. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you're enjoying the Business Beyond Borders podcast and you're thinking about expanding your company internationally, check out the Dearon & Associates website, dearonassociates.com. Our consulting services, which include market research and modeling, cross-cultural consulting, and strategic business connections, deliver deep insights and create value for larger companies looking to scale internationally. If you're from a smaller organization that wants to expand its global footprint, take a look at our International Business Accelerator program, which my team and I created to help micro to medium-sized businesses to speed up and de-risk the process of going global. The program helps business owners to build a great strategy without having to reinvent the wheel. It creates the momentum to put the strategy into play, and it helps them to generate or raise the funds that they need to get an international expansion off the ground. We built it especially for founders and CEOs who want to take their business to the next level and wondering where to start. It's structured in a way that's simple to follow. It's digital so that you can take part from anywhere in the world. It's a lot of fun and our members love it. Check it out at dearonassociates.com.